where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Saturday to you. November 19th, the year of our Lord, 2022. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, and I am your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports. First String Sports, definitely the place to be, man. This room is awesome, especially because of all the great high school football action last night. When I come into First String Sports and do my show, I'm in the Letterman's Jacket room, and just seeing these Letterman's Jackets just reminds me of how great high school football was. So for the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking about high school football up and down the central section from the games from last night, semifinals. Oh, my gosh, what incredible games we had last night. I can't wait to talk to some great coaches about those games, talking with Gabe Camarillo as well about these amazing games from last night. Amazing. We were able to broadcast the game at La Monica Stadium between San Joaquin Memorial and Clovis West. I'm going to get into that a little bit. But we had basically, you know, not front row seats, but we had the press box. We were able to dive deep into the game, talk to a few coaches as well. But what an incredible evening of high school football last night. I fell asleep probably around 1:30 last night. I was exhausted. First of all, I was very cold. I got home and I had to thaw out. It was extremely cold last night, but I was exhausted, man, just calling the game, texting and calling people after the game. I couldn't get to sleep. I woke up at 6 o'clock, couldn't get up. I couldn't wait to talk about the incredible games from last night with you guys. Yeah, my name's Paul Metters. You can follow me on Twitter, at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors. Before I get into the games from last night, who's coming on? Well, I mentioned Gabe Camarillo. He has his own show, Home Field Advantage, from 3 to 5, Monday through Thursday. He's coming on at the 11 o'clock hour, and he was at a few games last night. Again, I was at the San Joaquin Memorial and Clovis West game, calling the game with Jose Gonzalez here on 1430 ESPN. But Gabe was at a few games last night. He was actually at the end of the game that we called, and he had a different perspective because he was down on the field for that wild and wacky fourth quarter they're going to be getting into in just a minute. After the break, around 10:19 or so, Central Valley Christian head coach Mason Hughes. His CVC Cavaliers defeated Hanford 50-41 in Division II. Just a wild and entertaining game. Wild. I was following as much as possible. If you go to Stat Tracker on Max Preps, you're going to see points of plenty. I mean, just guys just scored an incredible amount of touchdowns. Talking with Mason, they're going to be facing Lemoore in Division II. Lemoore is absolutely on fire right now. Lemoore's the 3 seed, Central Valley Christian the 1. So those two teams are going to match up the day after Thanksgiving. And if you are practicing the week of Thanksgiving, that means one thing. You're still fortunate to be taking the field, most likely in the morning during the week, because I think most school districts have the whole week off. That means you are playing in a Central Section Division I championship game. And there's no greater feeling than the week of Thanksgiving when you're able to play in the Central Section championship game. The bottom of hour number 2. Now, I'm happy that these guys won, right? We're supposed to be impartial in this, and I'm happy because they committed to come on my show before their playoff game. Sunnyside, they took care of Independence 38-23 last night. We're going to be talking with Tanner Wilson, their record-setting quarterback, and Coach Thomas Wilson, yeah, his dad, co-coach for Sunnyside Wildcats. Yeah, they're playing in the championship game too. They're practicing this week. So they're coming on the show, get to know them a little bit more. Tanner Wilson's our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. And then at the bottom of hour number 2, Brandon Ward of Carruthers. I know he was on last week, but we didn't expect this incredible Division IV game last night against Kalinga, where they won 22-21. A wild fourth quarter. Speaking of that fourth quarter, San Joaquin Memorial and Clovis West, so they had a wild fourth quarter in Carruthers. Scored with 40 seconds left and decided to go for 2 and to go ahead. It wasn't the game, you know, it wasn't ending on that. There's still a few seconds left. But Carruthers decided to go for it, got the 2-point conversion, and they are in the Central Section Championship game. So excited to talk to Coach Ward about that game. All right, so the game that I went to last night, the game that I called with Jose Gonzalez, San Joaquin Memorial, the 4 seed, Clovis West, the 1 seed. We've talked a lot about those two teams this season. Coach Gosens did an amazing job at San Joaquin Memorial. Coach Eric Brown's turned that program around. 4-8 last year, number one seed, 10-1. We knew it was going to be a dogfight. We knew it was going to be a battle. There were a lot of keys to that game. How are you going to stop Brandon Ramirez, record-setting quarterback, running back for Memorial, who's coming off a 326-yard game and three touchdowns against Central? How's Clovis West going to bottle him up? How is San Joaquin Memorial going to stop the Clovis West air attack? Right? A lot of different things to think about in that game. Final, 30-20, San Joaquin Memorial beats Clovis West, ends their season. Memorial advances to play Liberty, who beat Buchanan 28-20. Well, how about this game at San Joaquin Memorial and Clovis West? Oh, gosh. I could talk about this game for about 20 minutes. I only got a few minutes. I got a lot of other games to get to. But check this out. It was 16-14. Actually, I could say it was 14-14 in the middle of the fourth quarter. But it was 16-14 with 1:44 left in the game, and it ended up being 30-20. Panthers advance. All right, there are a lot of keys to this game. There's a lot of keys. A lot of things happen. All right, Brandon Ramirez, again, a star athlete. I know I haven't seen all the players up and down the state, right? But I put him in the top 10 two-way players in the state. Why not? He's a dude. Plays safety. Plays running back. Well, he scored a late touchdown to make it 14. I shouldn't say late. Scored with about 6 minutes left to make it 14-14. Couple back and forth between the two teams. San Joaquin Memorial punted from, I think, about the 45-yard line. And they have an incredible punter, Alex Asperua. Pinned Clovis West. Again, scores at 14-14. Pinned Clovis West at the 4-yard line. Decided to run the ball. Aiden Fornberry up the middle. He was met by big number 50, Marquise Jones Jr. He was able to not take him down. There was some initial contact there, but kind of spun him and threw him kind of back into the end zone. Now, Fortenberry falls down. It's going to be forward progress. They get more plays. However, he stayed upright, tried to get out of the end zone, and was tackled for safety. And then just lots of crazy stuff happened, right? San Joaquin Memorial gets the ball back. They score. They try to take a knee or the timeout. Then they scored. Then there was a pick six. And all kinds of craziness happened. Bottom line, San Joaquin Memorial advances to play Liberty. And what a rise for the Panthers. What an incredible rise from Division II to Division III, now playing for a Central Section Championship, which, you know, when you're a D1, you can call yourself the Valley Champs, the Central Section Champs. You're the number one team, right? So San Joaquin Memorial, from their rise to Division III to Division II up to Division I, is pretty extraordinary. Coach Gosen has done a fantastic job with that team, with that program. And for Clovis West, I mean, they had a remarkable season, an incredible season. Nothing to hang your head at all. Coach Eric Brown, they're returning a lot of players for next year as well. Their core receivers, Marshall Sanders, Landon Wright, JoJo Pierre, those guys are coming back. They put up a lot of stats this year, a lot of stats. So Kajabi, man number 3, he was a stud last night defensively. You know, a lot of things to talk about those two programs. But congrats to San Joaquin Memorial for advancing. Liberty, yeah, they took care of Buchanan again. So this was the fourth straight year that Buchanan and Liberty has met in the playoffs. And all four games have been in Clovis against Buchanan in their home stadium. And Liberty has won 3 out of the last 4. So they just have their number the last couple years. So what an incredible year for Buchanan. The number's 2 seed. Hats off to those seniors. Jaden Mandel headed to Fresno State. Had a great year, but it just wasn't enough. They start off with a pick six. They actually had a 13-7 lead, and then Liberty just took over. They just did the things that they're really, really good at. They're the defending champs, so congrats to them. All right, let's go over a few more scores, and we're going to get into those other games more in depth when I talk to Gabe Camarillo, and then obviously we're talking to Mason Hughes from Central Valley Christian after the break, talking with the Wilsons, Tanner and Dad, Coach Thomas. We'll be talking with Brandon Ward of Carruthers. So I'm going to get it straight from them, not from me. So some of the other scores. In Division II, we mentioned Central Valley Christian over Hanford, 50-41. They'll be facing Lemoore, who, again, man, those guys are putting up a lot of points. I can't wait for that game. 56-21, they beat Frontier. In Division III, congrats to Kennedy, who beat the number one seed, Mission Prep, 27-14. We mentioned Sunnyside, 38-23 over Independence. So Kennedy and Sunnyside will be facing off in Kennedy in Delano. In Division IV, Carruthers over Kalinga, 22-21 in that great game. And who are they going to be matched up with? Well, how about Shafter? Look at those guys. They beat Torres, 42-41. Shafter upset the number one seed, Liberty Madera. They're the 8 seed. And then beat Torres on the road. So how that game was tied at 35, went into overtime. Shafter scored, kicked the extra point. Torres scored. They went for two like Carruthers did. However, their try went short. So they weren't able to get that two-point conversion and the win. So it's going to be Carruthers and Shafter in Division 4. In Division 5, Atascadero beat Dos Palos 35-0. Pioneer Valley beat Templeton 16-13. And in Division 6, Hanford West beat Avenel 27-12. And Mendota beat Riverdale. So that's going to be a Hanford West and Mendota final. All right, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with Coach Mason Hughes. The Cavaliers are 12-0 this season. Again, they beat Hanford in a wild game, 91 points total to advance to the D2 title game against Lemoore. Excited to talk to him. Buckle up, guys. This is going to be a lot of fun. So for the up until 12 o'clock, all high school football all the time here on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports, 1430 ESPN. And, man, I talked about how hyped I was. I'm still kind of hyped right now. I got my Starbucks, and I feel like I got a lot of energy working on about 4 hours sleep. But, you know, I don't care. I feel like I was really a part of the action last night. Maybe I'm going a little bit too far with that, but yeah, I had a lot of fun after the games talking and texting with coaches and seeing what went on and just following games on Twitter while I'm calling game. And one game that we're really interested in, because I felt like this game had potential to be just very, very exciting, and it certainly turned out to be the case. I'm talking with Mason Hughes right now, coach of Central Valley Christian. The Cavaliers are 12-0 after beating Hanford 50-41 to advance to the D2 title game against Lemoore. So, Coach Hughes, before the game, did you think that there would be 91 points combined and you would have 50? Was that even in the realm of your possibility? You're like, yeah, that's about right.
I mean, you watch their games and you see what their offense can do. So obviously, you know, you'd have to be a fool to not think that they could put up, you know, that many points. And there's just so many possessions, you know. So, like, yeah, the scores look high, but, you know, if you take it per play, it's not quite as high, right? Because there's just so many plays in a game because their tempo is so fast. But no, I like defense, and 41 points is not a winning business model for defense, you know. But I think when you play Hanford, it apparently it is, you know, because that was unreal. It was a great experience. Just really proud of our kids, and it was an honor just coaching on the field with Cannon and the staff. Like, the way they get plays in, it's remarkable. It's remarkable, Paul. I'd bet there's not a team faster in the country getting plays off.
Well, it's almost a work of art, isn't it, right? It's almost like college coaches should be watching Hanford and how they conduct their offense.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that – I don't know. I mean, Cannon's a good dude. He's a humble guy. I don't know if he would tell us if that was the case, but – I'd be surprised if there's not people, you know, contacting him about what they do. You know, they've been so good. They've played so many good teams over the last few years, you know, competing with the Centrals and Clovis West and, you know, more also very high-powered offenses, you know. And I can't imagine anybody being faster than them getting plays off. And, you know, just the way their quarterback, Kaden Muir, just a special player, the way he gets the ball out, the way he just distributes, runs the show, their offensive line, you know, those are big boys having to sprint down and get ready. And multiple times ball snapped and we're not ready. And those guys are, they're very conditioned for that. And yeah, it's just a great system. It's really fun, I'm sure, to watch. It was a nightmare to coach against. Just a lot of gratitude just for that game and being able to coach against those guys.
And I know your style, and I know you like to get hyped. But what was your demeanor throughout the game? Were you really focused on simply trying to manage the game? Did you find yourself getting caught and like, man, this is a lot of action. This is too fast. Did the game go by fast for you? Or how were you trying to manage the game?
We had told the kids all week, like, they're going to score, so don't be frustrated. And then I had to catch myself in the game because I was getting frustrated. And I actually had some players say, hey, you know, like, it's chaos and we're messing up, but they're messing up too, coach, you know. And that was good to be reminded that Caleb Callison, our senior linebacker, you know, he basically called the game. He's a 4.2 GPA and smarter than I'll ever be. And we just trusted him with identifying everything, and he was phenomenal. So to be honest, I didn't have to call too much. I kind of gave them the menu right when the ball was whistled dead, and then Caleb and Blake Gambini, our other senior linebacker, kind of ran the show, and the DBs did a really good job of just getting the coverages correct. We felt like we had possibly too much in for that, but they managed it well.
Talking with Mason Hughes, head coach at Central Valley Christian. All right, so looking at the box score here on Score Tracker, who probably had one of the busiest nights last night, keeping up and typing all this stuff in here on Max Prep. So you outscored them 16-0 in the first half. So you guys found those 2-point conversions to work. Usually it's Hanford going for those two, but then they outscored you 20-13 third quarter. You outscored them 14-7, and then in the fourth quarter they got you 14-7 for a 50-41 final. So it just seemed like a game that, you know, it was nonstop. And I had a friend that was at the game. He was texting me updates, and he's like, man, this is a great, great high school football game. But, you know, I know you mentioned that how much respect you have for Coach Cannon Sanchez. What about, you know, what can you say? You know, you talked about their team, but what can you say again about Hanford and about the level of Division II football? You know, we get a lot of attention to Division I, but the level of football that's being played in Division II right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think what people forget is, at least us who've been in the Valley for a long time, you know, when Hanford was a one-school town, that was a huge school. And, you know, now there's three schools there. And so Hanford has, you know, they have less than 1,500 kids. And so you know, I mean, they're a small to medium-sized school. And they have phenomenal players, and they have an unbelievable coaching staff. And I mean, let's be honest, there's kids that are playing around this Valley that are from Hanford. We have one of them. And I mean, if all those kids were at Hanford, I mean, they're playing on Friday against whoever is in Division I, you know? And, I just think it's a testament to them to, you know, and I don't think there's any negativity of why those kids go to other schools or whatever. I think, you know, each family has a choice they have to make for their child. But I think Cannon does a great job with whoever he has, and he finds their strengths, and then you know, he implements his style into that, you know, because I've seen them on film. They're not always like they are this year as far as the types of players, but they're always this good, and they're always this fast with their tempo. And so the ability he has to just instill that, phenomenal. I want to go pick his brain at some point, just because I can't believe how fast they go. It's incredible.
And you counteracted with a couple stud players yourself. You mentioned it, but didn't mention him. But Jaden Moore is from Hanford, and he's been on the show, and he's head of the University of Oregon, and looked like he did Jaden Moore things in that game. But Bryson Donaldson, I believe, had 4 total touchdowns in the game. Talk about his impact that he made in the game.
Yeah, I think this was Bryson Donaldson's best game of his career. You know, and it couldn't have come at a more needed time. He was phenomenal. You know, he ran the ball really well, ran the ball hard. I think he had over 30 carries, which, you know, that's not something we typically do with guys, you know. And but again, it goes back to the number of plays, right? But, you know, that's a workhorse number. And then, you know, he had 200-some yards and you know, he made a catch, a touchdown catch that was just remarkable, just unbelievable. One of the better catches I've ever seen in the end zone. And then he threw a touchdown. And that's pretty rare. So I think he had four TDs in all and was all over the stat book. And, he just does it with energy and fun to the game. You can tell he loves playing football, man. And it's really cool to see that he loves playing at CBC and he fit in so well and just a great teammate. And, he's really smart, too. We just practice a few things, tell him a few things, and he does them perfectly all the time. So it's just a blessing to be able to coach him.
He's a dynamic player for sure. Talking with Mason Hughes, coach at CBC. All right. So speaking of points, right, speaking of Hanford, speaking of incredible offenses, I don't know. I know it's only been, what time is it, 10:29 right now. It's been about 12 hours since your game ended, but you're going to be playing Lemoore, and those guys are probably the hottest team in the Central Section. They seem unstoppable right now. What are you already game planning for those guys? How is their offense different from Hanford? And what are some early thoughts about your matchup against Lemoore?
Yeah, I mean we haven't broken them down yet. We're still finishing our game, but we've obviously seen them because we've played some teams that they've played, and their quarterback's dynamic. He can run. He's a super accurate passer. He pretty much can throw any ball. Gets rid of the ball really quick. They have speed all over the place. Love their defense. Their DBs. I've seen most of their defense because the teams that we're playing, I'm looking at the other team's offense, and their DBs they do such a good job of playing man coverage, but switching routes and just doing things that pretty high level defense, and so it allows them to be really aggressive. And they look really, really good. They have a good D line. I think their quarterback is what makes it go. Like a lot of these teams, I think actually all of us still playing. I don't think you're going to find a team where it doesn't have a quarterback that has some sort of intangible thing about him, and it kind of is the secret sauce. And so, yeah, he's no different. And they're very good, very good. I mean, in 12 more hours, I'll probably realize just how good they are. But it looks like it's going to be really difficult.
Yeah, they're on fire right now, putting up 56 against a Frontier team that upset Kingsburg last week. And you we talked a lot about your great game that you had at Kingsburg where you beat them by a single point. So really looking forward to that next one. All right, so is your dog okay, Mason? I heard your dog in the background.
I don't know what happened to that guy, man. He comes out here and just he can sense that I'm talking to a stranger, even though he's fine. I don't know what's going on.
What are you calling me? Calling me a stranger?
Well, whatever. He didn't see. If he saw Paul, I mean, he'd jump on your head. But
probably.
Yeah. He's a piece of work.
All right, we got about another minute. All right, so I mentioned in the opener, if you are practicing during Thanksgiving week, that means you're playing for a Central Section title game. It's always interesting at this time of the year because, it's Thanksgiving, and the next day you're playing. So what's the Hughes family doing for Thanksgiving? And you got a routine, and how much are you going to be able to not concentrate, on the game and try to take in? I know you got an incredible family, but how to take in all the good stuff about Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I mean, we'll practice like a normal week until Thursday. We'll have our Thanksgiving practice with donuts and hot and chocolate milk like we do anytime we're practicing then. And then we'll go have Thanksgiving meal. And I try to tell all the kids, wait till Saturday to really eat Thanksgiving and just be smart about that. And, my sister and brother-in-law and my nephew and nieces are in town. And so it's been good over the last few years. We typically go up there during Thanksgiving, but we've been playing. And so those are blessings, and then also kind of a little bit of we don't get to visit. So it was really cool that my family got to come watch our game last night and watch my son Tyler play, which was cool. I had a family member from Oklahoma surprised us and was there. So he'll be with us this week. So yeah, we just us, Paul. We're gonna go over to Uncle Neil's in a couple minutes here and gonna eat some food and watch the CBC girls volleyball play in the state championship.
That's right, that's right. Can't forget that. So all right, last question. We got about 30 seconds here. Speaking of Thanksgiving, what are your do's and don'ts as far as your plate? What is the Mason Hughes Thanksgiving plate? What are the do's and don'ts on that thing?
I mean, I like everything, but stuffing. I'm a big stuffing. My mom makes some unbelievable stuffing. I love stuffing, and if we get to go to my Aunt Janice's. She makes this green bean casserole that's like the best thing I've ever had. And so I would say those are my two go-tos. You know, I mean, I like turkey and stuff, but it's really small on the plate compared to the stuffing. It's a pretty carb-loaded plate.
Do you throw some gravy on that stuffing, or
I'm not a huge gravy guy. I do put it on there. My dad's a big gravy guy, but a little bit. But I mean, usually it's like I want to taste the stuffing, you know, because my mom makes it so good. So,
and if it happens to, you know, the gravy happens to touch the stuffing, you're okay with that.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not a separate guy. I'll mix anything. I'll mix real cranberry stuff in there if you want. You know, I don't care.
Get a big bowl.
I don't discriminate against food mixes.
No, I don't. I know you don't. I know you don't. All right, Coach Hughes, first of all, congratulations on the 12-0 season so far. Next week's game against Lemoore is going to be an awesome game. Hey, I don't know. You know, we're trying to think about what game we're going to be broadcasting next week, and you're definitely on the radar. So good chance that we're going to be seeing you next week as well. So good luck, my friend, and have a great rest of the week.
Thanks, Paul. You too. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. All right, that was Coach Mason Hughes at Central Valley Christian. Always fun. He's almost becoming a de facto coach, man. Co-host. He's been coming on the show a lot. Great guy, great team over there in Central Valley Christian. All right, coming up after the break, a couple Sunnyside, big members of the Sunnyside team. We got the quarterback Tanner Wilson, Coach Thomas Wilson coming on after their big win, headed to the championship game as well, coming up on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports. You found us on 1430 ESPN. 2 hours of high school football every Saturday from 10 to 12. We're keeping it going. I think in December, just like last year, Saturdays, I think the 24th, falls on the 24th, and then New Year's Eve as well. So I think we'll be taking a couple weeks off, but it is all good. This is the fun time. It's probably, I don't know. I love basketball season. I love Central Section Champions for basketball. But, man, to me, high school football, the cold, outside, all that stuff. It's just, it's an amazing feeling. I love this time of year. And just had a great conversation with Coach Mason Hughes at Central Valley Christian. And those guys, they got a phenomenal team there. And we're playing at Lemoore. I mean, what do you put the over-under on that game? I know they scored 91 points, you know, Hanford and CBC last night. I don't know. You set it at 90 again. I mean, that's going to be a crazy game. Talking now with Tanner Wilson from Sunnyside, record-setting quarterback Thomas Wilson, co-coach at Sunnyside, also his father. Tanner, I got to mention a couple things here. You broke a prestigious record, right? Prestigious record. Through 10 games through the regular season, you threw for 3,465 yards and 42 touchdowns, right? Incredible numbers. And you're only a sophomore. Last night, you guys beat Independence 38-23, had a 23-0 halftime lead. You're playing in the Central Section Championship at Kennedy. As an 11 seed, we're going to get into that a little bit more. Every time I mention you guys in the playoffs, the 11 seed, it just seems odd. It was easy to predict that you guys are going to win this game. But first of all, thanks you guys for coming in after the game. Thanks.
Hey, appreciate you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so last night's game, Coach, I'm going to start with you. Independence, the 15th seed, they beat Porterville, beat Mission Oak, right? Upset the 2-7 seed on the road. You know, those types of teams are dangerous, just like you guys, right? You're underseeded, playing with a little bit of chip on your shoulder, but you guys came out to that big lead and just cruise. But talk about that game last night. What was working?
You know, first of all, Coach Scheibel does a great job over at Independence, and I think the biggest concern for us was that they were 7-1 in the last 2 years in the playoffs coming in. So he gets them prepared. He has them going in the right direction at the right time. And so we knew they were going to be tough. Had an opportunity to meet him several years back at a clinic. What we did for some youth sports, and so a fantastic guy, and so we knew that they were going to be very, very prepared coming in. you know, it was just a fantastic game all the way around. I know we got off to a quick start. We knew that they weren't going to give up, and they put together some things at the end. But that's just kind of, you know, it's a microcosm of what they've done all along. That, you know, a little bit of a slow start, but they're not going to keep coming at you, and so you know, for us, it was just a quick start. You know, we were able to do things, a very unexpected home game, which I think helped us for a change.
Yeah.
It was nice to not be in Tehachapi.
We talked about that all week. We're like, oh, man. So how cold did it get in Tehachapi that night?
So it got down around 31, 32, but it was like 36 that morning in Fresno. And so we walked out, and the wind didn't blow. And so we got very fortunate. The wind chills what hurt you. And so the wind kicked up a little bit before game. And right before we went out, it just calmed down. And we said, hey, you know, there are some things working for us right now. So let's go do this thing.
And you think of the playoffs, how the running game really comes into play, because it's tough to grip the ball when it's cold. And there's lots of different factors, right? It's not like, you know, 100 degrees like it is in Fresno, and it gets down to 85. That's really good football weather for throwing the football. So, Tanner, what was it like to play in that cold? Did you have trouble gripping the ball? You know, did you wear, you know, extra layer of clothes or anything like that to try to keep warm?
It was for sure different from going to Fresno all the way to Tehachapi, but I think we did a great job of preparing all week during practice, and then making sure to go out 2 hours before game time and getting some throws in, and then taking a break, going back in an hour before game time, getting some throws in, and then warming up again. So just making sure I'm prepared. And so it was really nothing different during the game. It got kind of cold, but we also had great help on the sideline, keeping us warm with hand warmers and everything like that.
Those hand warmers come in handy, don't they, in a game like that? So let's talk a little bit more about last night's game. So you mentioned how Independence came back, and you guys had that fast start, and you had them shut out at halftime, and they scored 20 points. Probably made you a little nervous, Coach, at some point, or just like, hey, we're in control. However, man, come on, guys, you can't let up at all.
Yeah, I think, you know, we came out and Malachi Barnes returned the opening kickoff for the second half for a touchdown, so we were up 31-0.
Okay.
And so then the kids really, you could see that we told them, hey, listen, if we get one, we feel like we might be able to put them away, and the one happened so fast that I think our kids let down. They got a couple of breaks, and we just had trouble finishing. And so for us, we talk about finish all year long. And it's very difficult to get to do something for the very first time. It's the first time in school history they've been to a championship game. And so, you know, we talked about it. Hey, listen, nothing's going to come easy, even if it appears that way. They're not going to go away. They're going to keep pushing. So you can't let down. And we did for a little bit, and they took advantage of it and grabbed momentum. And it was a little scary for a little bit. Yeah.
A tiny bit, right? Yeah, so that's awesome. So your school's playing in the first Central Section football championship in school history. Was there a huge celebration after the game? Did you maybe celebrate a little bit more after in the locker room? Or, you know, what was the talk after the game? Tanner?
Honestly, it wasn't like – it feels honestly,
it was – crazy on the field, right?
Yeah, during the game, our energy was high. But after the game, we were all talking like, this is what we've been planning to do. Like, this is nothing out the blue. Like, we didn't expect to be here since the season started, since summer. We started, like, all right, we're going to make it to a section championship. So, like, during it, it's just like we just accomplished our mission, and now we just need to finish.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you threw, I think, 3 touchdowns in that game, a couple two-point conversions as well. Coach, I want to talk about the season a little bit. You mentioned how – you know, the confidence has been growing. So you started off 1-2. You had those losses against back-to-back losses, Kingsburg and Kerman. But then you guys haven't lost since. So talk about the confidence that this team is playing with right now.
We're playing with a lot of confidence right now. I know the kids are starting to believe in the process. And I think as much as anything else, it goes through the work that we put in the offseason. I know those 2 losses were a little bit disappointing for us, and we didn't do some of the things that we really try to focus and harp on. And we just got back to doing the basics and said, hey, listen, we need to be better on special teams. We need to be more disciplined with penalties and some of the other things. And the kids bought in. And I know for us, it was, I think, Sanger West week. You know, we talked about during that week that we need to have a 5 more week mentality. And I said, if that's what you want to do. And I wasn't sure if the kids bought in to that. I know last year, you know, COVID and all the kind of things, and they were kind of happy to be in the playoffs. And we saw a real shift in the kids. They were not happy to be there. They wanted to win games. And so when they showed up to practice during the Sanger week, there was a distinct difference in a group that wasn't okay with playing for one or two more games. And so even if we wouldn't have been successful against Tulare Union, the attitude and the behavior, the climate, all those kind of things is changing. And so, you know, hats off to players, but they're accepting the coaching and they're doing everything they're supposed to. And so, you know, for me, the kids posted on Twitter right away, hey, 5 week mentality was what the kids posted right away. And I said, well, I think we got them and I think they're bought in. And if they're bought in, we're good enough to play with anybody, we think.
And you talk about that maturity process from last year. You came on a lot of people's radars, including ours, because of last year with all these freshmen that started, including Tanner, right?
Yeah.
Including Tanner and your three main receivers, or two main receivers, were freshmen last year and got playing time. That's almost unheard of for a school your size to have such young kids step up and play at a high level as freshmen. So what, Coach, have you seen? I mean, you talked about the maturity, but was there any trepidation last year? You know, as far as bringing all these kids up to varsity, did you know they was ready? You know, they were ready for this, for these types of moments.
You know, we learned a lot about them on the fly, and so you know, we weren't sure about Tanner at the beginning. It was, you know, we're going to need to run the ball and we're going to need to do things to protect these freshmen. We think that eventually they'll be good, but you know, everyone you know projects out. And we say we need to get them some confidence and get the and they jumped right in with both feet and they exceeded all of our expectations. And I mean he's my son, and so I get to see him and work with him every day, and he exceeded my expectations. I don't call the offense. I know Coach Wood calls the offense, and so I tell him, hey, listen, don't give him more than he can handle. Like, I you know, just it's okay. And he's had some pretty good experience with some pretty talented players in his career. And so he used all that, and you know, Tanner just does everything we're asked, and so does CJ and Malachi. But I think, you know, the thing that was the strangest for us is the older kids are taking learning lessons from the younger ones, and so kind of everyone has bought into it's my responsibility to take care of myself and to get myself going. And so we don't have a leader or two. We got a bunch of kids that all are pitching in with their own fair share, and it's really great to see.
No, it is, and I saw the seeds last year in that game against Reedley, talking with Thomas Wilson and Tanner Wilson from Sunnyside. So, Tanner, I want to ask you about your dudes, right? Your receiving core, and Malachi Barnes, C.J. Jones. Those are your classmates, and I know you got a good relation. And I got to mention Sanjay Burton, who's a senior. Yeah. And I posted this on Twitter. So did Sanjay get like 80 yards last night?
You.
What, is he close? Yeah,
it is going to be close.
He had
a big catch at the end of the game, and so the whole night last night's a little bit of a blur.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to go back and look at it on film and see exactly what's going on.
Again, we're only about 12 hours since your game ended, but the reason why I asked is because that would make C.J. Jones, Malachi Barnes, and Sanjay Burton with all three with 1,000 yards in one season, right? 1,000-yard receiver is good. Two is like, oh, that's pretty awesome. Three is almost unheard of. So that's why the reason why I asked. So, Tanner, I want to ask you, when you got a spread offense, you throw the ball 80 to 85% of the time. When you see those guys lined up, how do you decide who you're going to throw to? I know you got to keep those guys happy sometimes, but you're like, all right, bro, this one's coming to you. Or sometimes you're like, all right, I got to see this. I got to hit my other guy. What goes through your mind?
They're always telling me, like they'll walk up the first play yesterday. Walked up, he said, Tanner, CJ Watson said, the dude can't guard me. He said, throw it up. So waited a little bit, and then it was just like one time we'll just call play, and it'll be a run play, and I'll just see a one-on-one, and like their confidence has been high. Just of course, all three being 1,000-yard wide receivers, most likely right now, all their confidence is really high. Like they'll walk up against anybody and just say, I think I'm better than this guy, throw it up. So there will always be a time, probably a couple times each game, where it's a run play, and I and I change it, and I would say just go nine, just I'm gonna throw as far as I can, go make a play, and most time they have made plays, which is always nice on a quarterback. So those dudes are,
they're talented,
help out every quarterback. Everyone wants someone, three people like those.
Exactly, right? Like, and you think about wide receivers, when they always come back to the huddle. I didn't play high school football. I was a baseball, yeah. basketball guy. But, you know, when guys come back to the huddle, they're always saying, I'm open. Yeah. I'm open. Come on. Yeah. You didn't see me? I'm open on every play. Yeah. That, we do that yeah. on a playground. Yeah,
and
I'm open.
Yeah, and a lot of times they're like, I'm not open, but throw it up. Like, they can't just throw it.
That's awesome. All right, so – Tanner, I want to ask you about your relationship with CJ. You got a special relationship with that guy, right? How long have you known him? How long have you guys been friends?
CJ, I've known since fifth grade going on to sixth. I played AAU basketball with him, and then 7-on-7, and then came to Sunnyside. So I've been playing since then. But I hang out with him 24/7. It's just our connection builds every day.
Do you do everything together? You guys play video games together?
Yeah.
You guys eat together? All right. What are your video game go-tos? What do you guys play?
Madden, 2K.
Everyone plays Matt. All right. Who's your guy? Who's your team on that? Who you play with on that?
I play with the Chargers.
Your Charger guy? Herbert guy? Is that your guy? Is that your favorite NFL quarterback right now?
Second, my favorite is Marcus Mariota.
Yeah? Why is that?
I'm an Oregon guy.
Okay. All right. Mariota, he's doing okay. He makes it for the Falcons.
He had a bad game last week.
Yeah, I don't know. He made a couple questionable decisions. Yeah. But, yeah, I can go with that. Mariota's awesome in college. I love watching him, too. So, speaking of college – you've got some interest.
Yeah.
Check it out on Twitter. I see you at different games. Who are some schools that have reached out to you so far?
A lot of interest from Mountain West. Of course, right across the street, Fresno State, Nevada, Colorado State. I have an offer to San Jose State. A couple of Power Fives like Oregon State, Cal, USC, UCLA, LSU. So it's building every day. Like, sometimes I'll just wake up randomly, just three coaches follow you, send them my film, tell them to, since the rules, I'll tell them you could taste my head coach, all that. So it's building every day.
Again, you're only a sophomore. You got a lot of football left ahead of you. So dad/coach, how are you able to handle that with college recruiting? I know it's going to be picking up a lot more. I know you guys are big on the 7-on-7 circuit as well. So how is you as a dad/coach able to handle that? Do you take on a lot of responsibility? You leave some to Tanner. Ultimately, it's probably going to be his decision where he goes. But what does that look like for you?
Yeah, so he's the baby of the group. So he's the third son. And so the other two played college football. And so we've been through this a little bit, not quite on this level with the other two. His oldest brother is a college football coach, and so he helps us out a lot with, you know, here's the rules. Don't worry about what people are saying on Twitter. Here's really what's going on, the reality of the situation. And so we try not to get caught up in too much of what he said, she said, and what other people are doing and posting. And I think that's the biggest thing is we just talk about enjoy being a kid. You know, you're having fun. The season's great. Don't be so worried about the future that you're missing the present. It's going to happen, and those things will take care of themselves. We encourage the other kids to go wherever they wanted to go, and so we'll do the same thing with Tanner. You know, wherever he wants to go, if he wants to go to Fresno State and that's where he ends up, that would be outstanding because I could walk to the games. But if he ends up somewhere else, then I'll be on an airplane, and we'll do the same thing we did with the other ones. There'll be a lot of weekend travel. So we're just excited about the opportunity. It's a fun process. We know that it's going to probably get a little more stressful here as it starts to move into his junior year. But we're just enjoying it right now and having a heck of a fun time coaching him. It's a pretty special opportunity, and I know, you know, people can say whatever they want to say. Getting to coach your son is a really, really special opportunity. It's just an additional time that I get to spend with him that most parents don't get to spend. So it's great.
Absolutely. And you're a defensive guy. How is it that you were able to raise a quarterback? Come on, man. Right? How did that work out?
All three of them have been quarterbacks, and I don't know how that happened. I did not play quarterback. I was a wide receiver DB. And
you played college football too, right?
So I played 1 year of college football. Okay. I was a baseball guy.
Okay.
And so was ended up being a little bit better at baseball, and I'm the only guy in the family under 6 feet tall. So that was more conducive to playing baseball too. But yeah, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you know, we're just excited and having a lot of fun doing it.
Absolutely. And yeah, that coaching your son or daughter is a special experience. I talked to a lot of coaches that have it, and it's it can be tough, right? And I've heard stories of, you know, tears and apologies and, you know, different things like that. I'm sure you got stories. You can talk about that for a long time. But, yeah, there's that special bond also, right, where you look out, you got a little sense of pride, I'm sure, on certain moments that happen with you and your son and with the team. I want to ask you a couple things. Man, the time is really flying by here. So, Tanner, you know, you mentioned how you like video games. You're a big Madden guy. Hang out with CJ Jones. But, you know, is your life like 24/7 football, or are there other, like, I know you're on varsity basketball last year too as well. So what are some other things that you do?
I play basketball, but, man, especially during football season, it's really just all we wake up. We got morning workouts, so I have to wake up from anywhere from 6 to 6:30 all the way till I don't get home till 7. So, and then when I go home to 7, it's like rehab, rest, everything like that. But I mean, in the off season, of course, 7-on-7, that's the one of the best parts of football, is just having fun, 7-on-7. Nothing else to it. It's just throwing the ball around.
Defensive linemen coming at you, right?
Yeah, and then play basketball, video games. That's really cool.
Awesome. Well, you're a teenager. Are you 16 years old?
Yeah.
You're 16. Yeah. Got a couple more years left. Record-setting quarterback. All right, Coach, we only got about a minute here. Let's talk about your game next week. I know you're coming off that great win against Independence, but facing a Kennedy team, right? And those dudes play defense. I was looking at their scores, and, you know, they lost that opener to Edison. They lost one more game at one of the Bakersfield schools, and they've won out since that, given up 7 points, 14 points. So it seems like defense, and they held Mission Prep to 14. What do you know about Kennedy? What are you looking forward to that game? You're obviously traveling there.
Honestly, I don't know a whole lot more than you know right now. I know that that's what we're leaving straight here, and
that's what Thanksgiving week's for.
Yeah, we're gonna head to the film room, and I'm not coming out till I do know. But I mean, you know, looking at the scores and everything else, they do play defense. They've done a great job. I know where they were initially ranked at. They were ranked right next to us going into the playoffs, and then they had a big win against Chavez, which jumped them up, and some other teams had some losses and kind of threw a whole monkey wrench and everything that I was playing. I think I had film on every single team in the bracket except Kennedy. There was no scenarios in where I saw that we were going to end up playing them. And here we are. We know a little bit about them. I've talked to Coach Stamps over at Edison. Coach Stamps was our offense coordinator when we first got here.
Right.
Coach Cook, who is at Lemoore, is their offense coordinator right now. He was our offense coordinator last year and wide receivers coach. So we're really happy for a lot of those other guys that are having success that have coached with us too. But we'll hit those guys up and see what they know and whatnot. And then we're just going to do what we do. You know, no recruits are coming in. Nothing's really going to change for us or for them. And we're happy and blessed and honored to be where we're at. And we'll put together the best game plan we can, and we'll see what happens next Friday.
Oh, and you got yourself a good quarterback, your son here to my left, and record-setting quarterback, amazing. I had a lot of fun watching them this year and following them on Twitter. So congrats on making it so far, and good luck this week.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you very much for having us.
You bet. All right. Coming up after the break, talking with Gabe Camarillo about all these games and more. Gosh, lots of fun stuff to talk about here on 14.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. That's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report. You found us on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Just had a great conversation with Tanner Wilson, record-setting quarterback, dad Thomas Wilson, who's a defensive coordinator there, but his son is a record-setting quarterback. So that's a little dichotomy there. We didn't get into his game that much as far as what he brings to the field, but everything's in shotgun, and I was impressed last year as a freshman, just his touch on the football, his feel for the game, his ability to make throws. He's probably a D1 guy. He's got an offer from San Jose State, so it's going to ramp up even more for him. So they made it as an 11 seed to the championship game, and that's not super uncommon because the playoffs are a little wacky. There was not one game in all six divisions that ended up being a 1-2. There were no 1-2 games. So the brackets were off as far as that. And, yeah, I mean, how many times are you going to have all 1-2s? Well, there is an 11 seed with Sunnyside, right? There is a, you know, Lemoore's a 3 seed. That's not a big surprise. You know, Carruthers is a 3 seed, so that's not a big surprise. Shafter has an 8 seed. Yep. Right? A little bit of a surprise. Beat the number one and then went on the road and beat Torres. So there are lots of games. I'm going to be breaking that down right now with Gabe Camarillo. You can listen to him on Home Field Advantage Monday through Thursday, 3 to 5. Does a fantastic job up and down the central section, just giving you guys information, man. You can follow him on Twitter, at Gabe Camarillo _. He's everywhere and anywhere. You never know where Gabe's going to be. He's works for Barkboard as well, does Fresno State stuff. So he's a jack of all trades right now. So, Gabe, Division I games, right? I talked a little bit about San Joaquin Memorial and Clovis West. It's a game that I could talk for about 20 minutes. There's just so many things that went on. I knew you were able to make at least that wacky fourth quarter. You're there on the sidelines. You got to see Brandon Ramirez up close. He was in beast mode again. You know, what stands out to you in that game? I know they had a big chip on their shoulder talking about San Joaquin Memorial coming to play in at La Monica, the number one seed, Clovis West, who some say maybe should have been the number one seed. But, hey, all four of those teams in Division I were very capable of winning a central section title. So what did you see on the field during the San Joaquin Memorial and Clovis West game?
That fourth quarter decided everything. I think we'll talk about that fourth quarter for the months to come because when it started, it was 14-7 Clovis West. And then Memorial turned to Brandon Ramirez, their best player, and he carried them to that win. I mean, it wasn't just Brandon. It was also the defense that made some big plays, including Jaden Enriquez's pick six to kind of seal it. But at the end of the day, when San Joaquin Memorial needed points, they were down by a touchdown, they turned to Brando, and Brando looked like he was at his best in the fourth quarter. I think you can never say again that Brandon Ramirez gets tired. He does not get tired. He actually gets better as the game goes on. And I think part of it, and Andy Bogard tweeted this out about the game last night, Anthony Gostin being able to rest Brando in like a little spurts during the first three quarters, Bogard tweeted that out. I thought that was very a keen observation by Bogard because Gostin showing that discipline, giving Brando a little bit of rest here and there. Obviously, he looked like he was fresh in the fourth quarter, and I don't know the carry numbers. I don't know how many times he carried the football. I'm pretty sure it was close to 30 once again, but I know it was a more balanced attack by Memorial. I think that also played a factor into it. There was a couple throws that Dean made where they needed throws, and he made them, but at the end of the day, in the fourth quarter, you want your best player making those big plays, and he had two of his three touchdown runs in that faithful fourth quarter. And in that fourth quarter, Memorial outscored Clovis West 23-6. There were a couple of things in that fourth quarter that stood out to me on that go-ahead touchdown drive. They were up 16-14, Memorial was. It was 3rd-and-3. Clovis West jumps off sides on a hard count. You can't make that mistake if you're Clovis West. And then later on in that drive, Brandon Ramirez picks up two more first downs. He slides down at the 5-yard line to kind of force Clovis West to call their last two timeouts, and then he punches it in. And once he punched it in, I felt like he knew that was game. Asp Ruhav made the PAT, made it 23-14, and then the backbreaker was Enriquez's pick six. And that one pick six kind of it epitomizes that whole defensive effort from the Panthers because they faced a very good Clovis West offense. We know fully well how good this Clovis West offense is with its plethora of D1 caliber receivers, but at the end of the day, they made the plays they needed to leave La Monica with the win.
Yeah, and that pick six, it was the first play after Ramirez has scored that touchdown. And, you know, Enriquez, you know, he was on the show last week. He's a great kid. And, you know, probably going back, intercept that ball and go down and take a couple knees, and that game's over. There was, I think the game lasted for about 17 more minutes of real time after that. But anyway, San Joaquin Memorial did a fantastic job. And everybody in the stadium knew on those drives in the fourth quarter that the ball was going to Brandon Ramirez. We knew that against Central when we called that game. But you can't stop him.
You know it's coming, but you can't stop it.
And he's got that blend of speed and power. And I mentioned on the broadcast, and I don't think he's fumbled all year, and how could he? He's got really strong hands, and you mentioned how Bogart said that he, you know, he was out for a couple plays, and he's probably just recharging his meter, right? You think about those video games when you get your meter recharging, come up for your super punch. So that's probably what he was doing there. But I mean, what a player in San Joaquin Memorial advances to play Liberty.
Yeah.
Right?
One more thing about Memorial.
Buchanan's kryptonite.
Yeah. Well, one more thing about Memorial. I think the big play in that game, it was Brando, right, making those big runs, but it was also Marquise Jones forcing Fortenberry back into the end zone to get a safety. Now, could Fortenberry have thrown it? Could have been like a halfback pass and maybe throw it out of bounds and live to see another down? That could have possibly happened. Do you think that could have been a choice, Paul, that Aiden made in that situation to avoid the safety?
Well, it was a handoff, right? So it's got to be a pitch backwards and you can throw the ball forward.
I heard that argument made, so I just wanted to get your thoughts. Yeah, you're right. I mean, at that point, it's just Marquise Jones making a nice, nice play.
Correct, absolutely. And then Buchanan, right? I mean, Liberty was just – they just have Buchanan's number one three of the last four times they played in the playoffs. But, you know, what a year for Buchanan. They had that lead 13-7. They weren't able to hold the Patriots down, were they?
Yeah, I think I'll have to ask Coach Nixon what happened there in that second and third quarter, because you're right, Buchanan went up with the Cannon Campbell touchdown, 13-7. But then Liberty scores the next three touchdowns unanswered to go up 28-13. And I think if you give that defense a lead in the fourth quarter, it's going to be very tough to come back against that defense. So a great career high school-wise for Jaden Mandel. Now he'll have a college career to look at with Fresno State. And there's still some big Bears coming back next year, starting with Logan Stude. And I just think that this is Buchanan's kryptonite. I mean, Liberty is Buchanan's kryptonite. There's no other way to put it, because this is now the second year in a row they've lost to Liberty in the semis. And in similar fashion, too, Liberty comes up here, plays smash-mouth football, makes some electric plays with their skill guys, Krishan Kizzy making some plays, Amaya Harrison making some plays. I mean, I just listed two athletes that are going to college on scholarship. Amaya Harrison going to Fresno State for track and field, and Kizzy going to Cal Poly for football. And I think Kizzy could have gone to a D1 level college. I think he will go to an FBS college after he has his pit stop in the FCS level. That's how good the athletes are at Liberty Bakersfield, and I think that's what made the difference.
And we've talked a lot this last week about the different scenarios that could happen in Division One, and it wasn't out of the realm of possibility. Obviously, how we actually thought that it very well might happen that San Joaquin Memorial and Liberty would play. So we got the three seed Liberty, four seed San Joaquin Memorial, and that one in Division Two, Central Valley Christian. Talked to Coach Mason Hughes, Hanford. Oh, what an entertaining game, 50-41. We heard straight from Coach Hughes how much respect, first of all, that he has for Hanford and Coach Cannon Sanchez, and how he was frustrated because, I mean, you can't stop Hanford, right? And you can't slow them down, because they won't slow down, because they're trying to snap the ball between 10 to 15 seconds every time. And, you know, Cavaliers have enough firepower. So I think for us, it shows that Central Valley Christian could win the games in the trenches. Go back to Sanger, right, that they won 20-0. Obviously, Sanger's offense and Hanford's offense are polar opposites, right? However, you can see that Central Valley Christian can win in different styles of football, and I think that bodes well, and they're going to have their hands full against Lemoore.
Yeah, if they can outscore Hanford, I like their chances of outscoring Lemoore. I think this game impressed me the most of any Central Valley Christian win this season, because I really thought that Hanford would play too fast for CVC's taste, but I didn't account for the fact that CVC could outscore Hanford with their stars like Bryson Donaldson, who racked up over 200 yards on the ground and four total touchdowns, including an incredible touchdown catch that I hope is on Monday Night Football. You got Moss, because Donaldson Moss, a Hanford defender, you got to see Voney Yang's tweet to see what I'm talking about, but it's ridiculous. Donaldson, I think he was number one reason why they won this game, because they needed offense, right? If you're going to go against Hanford, you got to beat them at their own game, and that means putting up more points than Hanford. So they turned to Donaldson. That was their number one offensive weapon. He's been the biggest asset to this team since he's arrived in late September when he became eligible. I mean, ever since then, he's had his footprints on every single big CVC win. You look at their win over Kingsburg, his footprints were over that game because he scored the game-winning touchdown. You look now at this last game against Hanford, he had four total touchdowns. I don't know if CVC wins without Donaldson.
No, exactly. I think you're right. He was definitely the final ingredient of this very talented Central Valley Christian team. So, all right. Is anybody going to – I mean, Lemoore, right? They come in so hot. Seems like every game they're scoring in the 40s and 50s. They put up 56 against Frontier. I mean, what do we set the over-under? I mentioned that earlier. What do we set it as? Like 90? That game's going to be so entertaining.
Lamar's defense is good. I've seen this defense step up to the challenge. They've shut out some good opponents, and they kept the Hanford offense to like 18 points, which if you look at what they did last night, right, Hanford put up 41 on CVC, just goes to show you how good Lamar's defense is. So I think if there's going to be an X factor in this game, it's going to be, can Lamar's defense step up to the challenge of not only having to tackle Bryson Donaldson, but if you focus all your eggs in one basket with Donaldson, you're going to leave Jaden Moore wide open on a couple of deep routes, and you don't want to leave the Division I Oregon commit open as a tight end or as a defensive end. So I think with the two-headed monster that CVC has, that might give them the edge, but you can't discount what Lamar's doing. Something special is brewing there. I talked about this on Thursday. This is their golden class. They've been working for this season for the last several years, kind of reminiscent of what Memorial did. They've been working for this season too. Lamar's doing the same down there, and they have all types of seniors that are eager to close their careers out with a Central Section title.
And before I get into a few of the other games, how do you feel the seedings have been played out? We talk all year, Gabe, you and I, all year about seedings and Cal preps and what's fair and what's not fair and what's changed and what's stayed the same. So we got a 3 and a 4 in the D1 game. We got a 1 and a 3 in the D2. So let me just go over D3 and D4, D5, and D6, and then we give the seeds, and we'll see where some of these play out. So in Division 3, we got number 11, Sunnyside, at number 4, Kennedy. That is Division 3. In Division 4, we have number 8, Shafter, at number 3, Carruthers. In Division 5, number 8, Pioneer Valley, at number 2, Atascadero. In Division 6, we have number 3, Mendota, number 1, Hanford West. So that one played out pretty much as expected, or kind of as expected. So what are your thoughts on some of those seedings? Obviously, you're not going to have all number 1s versus number 2s, but, hey, you're going to have a couple differences there, aren't you?
Yeah, I think it's most prevalent in the lower divisions that you're talking about. But even in Division 1, a lot of people had Liberty pegged as the number 1 team coming into the playoffs, and they were the number 3 seed. So I'm not surprised to see Liberty of Bakersfield in the Division 1 title game. A lot of people thought they were the number 1 team, and so far they've been right. And I'm not surprised to see the number 4 seed Memorial here, because I think a lot of people would have had them at 2 or 3 if they were making rankings. So I think in Division 1, you see, right, because Clovis West beat Buchanan, the computers value that win so much, especially because Buchanan beat Liberty in that lightning-shortened game. So even in Division 1, the seedings were kind of wacky, but especially in the lower divisions. Let's start with Division 3, right? Sunnyside's 2 losses earlier in the season to Kerman and Kingsburg heavily weighed down their ranking and their seeding in the Cal Prep system, especially to Kerman, because Kerman was seen as a like Division 3 team. For Kennedy, I think Coach Wilson hit the nail on the head because they beat Chavez in the last week of the season for the South Sequoia League title. That boosted them up from what would have been an 8 seed to a 4 seed. So these seeds are kind of misleading. I think Kennedy is about a 4 seed, but I think Sunnyside is better than an 11 seed, so to speak. I think Sunnyside is definitely better than an 11 seed. And in Division 4, Shafter lost to Wasco the last week of the season. That dropped them from like a 4-3 seed to an 8 seed. That's why I knew Shafter would have a good chance at beating Torres, because I thought Shafter was just as good as Torres, and it played out like I expected with a nail-biter finish that came down to a missed Torres 2-point conversion. And for the other team, Carruthers, I think Carruthers was placed about right as the 3 seed. In Division 5, I know Atascadero, they're the 2 seed in D5. I thought that they were going to be in D4, but by losing to Pioneer Valley, who they now face in the championship, how funny does that work, right? In week 11, Atascadero lost to Pioneer Valley. That dropped them down from D4 to D5, and now they get a chance at revenge against Pioneer Valley. And in D6, Hanford West at Mendota. That one's kind of normal because it's a 1 versus 3. But to answer your question, Paul, I think a lot of what happened either early in the season or the last week of the season had too much of an impact on seedings. I like to see a system that doesn't put too much weight in just 1 or 2 games.
Yeah, and as far as the championship games go, I think they're going to be very competitive. I don't see any blowouts anywhere. I'm actually happy with a lot of the finals. I know, saying that, right, we don't have any finals here in the Fresno-Clovis area. That's a little strange. So we got Central Valley Christian hosting in Visalia, obviously Liberty hosting in Bakersfield, Kennedy and Delano. We got Carruthers as well. So Carruthers isn't too far from the Fresno-Clovis area. And then the coastal schools and then Hanford West. So you got a couple, you know, rural schools that you can go to for our Central Section Championship games, but nothing in the Fresno and Clovis area. So that's a little strange to me. And I know, Gabe, of note, what about Clovis Unified? Let's go back a tiny bit. Clovis Unified, they have not won a Division I Central Section football championship since 2012, right? Since Clovis North.
They've come really close, and they've had some
big drought.
Yeah, they've had some really good teams too. We were talking last night after the games about that 2018 Buchanan squad that had Jalen Cropper and Kendall Milton and Brock Jones. I mean, I just listed three potential future pros. I think Jalen Cropper has a good shot at going in the NFL. Brock Jones just got drafted by the Rays in baseball. And I think Kendall Milton, if he keeps it up, he can find himself on a roster. And so to have like three NFL caliber guys on the same team and not win, I don't know if it's a curse that Clovis Unified has. Maybe it's something about just the way that teams win nowadays. If you look at the past couple of Central Section champions, I mean, this year, the two teams that are in it, Memorial, they have a lot of transfers, right? I think that's an open secret. It's not really a secret anymore. Bogart tweeted about it yesterday. They have eight guys from Hanford on their team, including Brandon Ramirez. And you look at other past teams, Central had a transfer quarterback in Jamison Silva, and they had a couple other transfers as well on that team. So I think that in the day and age of college and high school football, kind of implementing a transfer portal, so to speak, I don't know if Clovis Unified has really used that to the full extent. I know that Buchanan had Jaden Mandel, who came from Clovis North, and there's a couple other kids in Clovis that have moved around. But you're looking at who's winning. The two teams that are in the Division I championship, San Joaquin Memorial and Liberty of Bakersfield, they've used the transfer portal. Liberty got Krishan Kizzy from Bakersfield Christian. So, I mean, it might be a bad thing to say, but sometimes getting some help from other schools, getting some big transfers, puts you in positions to win championships.
Yeah, interesting concept, isn't it? So, yeah, this could be a long conversations about Clovis Unified and how they split up. You know, Clovis North was the shiny new toy in Clovis Unified, and they won that Central Section Championship. And so, you know, I think maybe they're a little too diversified as far as the zones and spreading out and getting athletes to compete.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Paul.
Yeah,
that's right? A really good point. Because back in the day, Clovis and Clovis West were winning Central Section titles, but that's because they were the only two schools in town.
They were the only two, and you could go back to Buchanan with Matt Giordano in 2000. That was the last time that Buchanan won. So, you know, Gabe, we got a couple minutes here. We've talked about this in the past, how we should do an in-depth study of this. So I got a couple fun facts here about the size of some schools. So we talk a lot about Clovis West, and we forget that they're actually a base Division II school. So they're base Division II in football. They were number one in CalPREC, so they're bumped up to Division I. Talk a lot about Lemoore and Hanford and their size. The difference between Clovis West student attendance and Lemoore, it's only 99 difference. Clovis West has 2,015 students. This is from a couple years ago. Lemoore has 1,916 students.
That's a very interesting find there, Paul.
Yeah, isn't it? So how about this one? You'll like this one. What about Shafter? What do you think about Shafter?
Shafter's in Division IV, so they should be in like the low thousands, right?
Low thousands. How about 1,638?
Okay. And what about Carruthers?
According to the Google machine, I think Carruthers is a little under 1,000. Well, speaking of Carruthers, I got Coach Brandon Ward coming on, so we'll directly ask him. But Shafter, 1,638. Hanford West, 1,295.
Oh, wow. Not that far from – yeah, not that far between the two divisions.
Yeah, isn't that wild and wacky?
Yeah.
So you think about how big, you know, Clovis Unified is, right? So you got 2,000 kids at West. You got, you know, 2,500 at Clovis High. Clovis East actually has the most number of students. So, you know, there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, and I know the argument that I hear against using enrollment numbers is not all those kids are eligible for sports, but I think it's important to realize, right, if we're trying to keep it fair, trying to keep Division IV teams in Division IV and so on and so forth, I think – sometimes those numbers help us understand, well, should this team be this low or this high? I think for Memorial's case, their enrollment's really low, but they're the exception because they're able to recruit athletes and get kids there that are exceptional in football, basketball, and baseball. So I think it's fine to have Memorial in Division I. And in fact, I think this is last night was their biggest win in school history because it puts them in the Division I championship for the first time. But I think that for the most part, those enrollment numbers kind of open your eyes a little bit.
A little bit, right? It's always fun to look at. All right. One more thing, Gabe, before I let you go. Eight-man football, we can't ignore those guys, right? Fresno Christian and Sierra, you were there for a little bit that I saw. Fresno Christian comes back and beats Sierra 30-27. What'd you see in that game, man? How fun is it to watch eight-man football?
I think I saw the whole town of Toll House at that game, Paul. It was awesome. That was a great atmosphere. I wish I could have stayed there longer, but I had to go to La Monica. But in the time I was there, let me paint the picture. Portable lights. It's a little dim, but it's fun. And you got the whole Fresno Christian student section roaring, and they're excited. And it was a really good game back and forth. It was 20-10 Sierra at halftime. But then Logan Stotts, the quarterback for Fresno Christian, he had a game he'll never forget the rest of his life. In the third quarter, he had two touchdown runs to put him ahead 22-20. And then Sierra comes right back, a long touchdown run. They go up 27-22, but at the end of the day, Logan Stotts led his offense to the game-winning touchdown and two-point conversion in the fourth quarter, and Fresno Christian repeats as eight-man Central Section champions. Congrats to the Eagles. Well done.
Congrats to the Eagles is right. Fun football there at Fresno Christian. So thanks, Gabe. Really appreciate you. And I'm sure we're going to be talking and texting this week. It's Championship Friday coming up. Can't wait.
I know, Paul. And since you asked Mason, I'll ask you, what's your go-to Thanksgiving dish?
Oh, gosh. All right. So give me a plate, but the plate's got to be a little concave so everything can fit in there. Got to go the mashed potatoes. I'm now a full dark meat guy. No white meat. I'm full dark meat. Mashed potatoes. I put a big pat of butter in there, get the gravy, put it in a microwave a little bit. If there's corn, I put corn there, and I don't care if the gravy gets all over everything. I know Coach Hughes says he's a big stuffing guy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm an anti-stuffing guy.
What?
No, throw that stuff out. No, I don't need any crunchies. I don't need no weird green, brown-looking
stuff
in my stomach.
I'm the opposite. If I had a plate full of stuffing and some gravy, I'm set. That's my Thanksgiving dinner right there.
All right, how about the sandwich? What do you do the sandwich later in the day? Because I like the bread, turkey, gravy, and you got to throw some cranberries in.
We got to stop talking about this. It's not even lunchtime, and I'm hungry.
All right, yeah, so you asked me, so that's my go-to for Thanksgiving, and I'm anti-pumpkin pie as well. Leave it at home. I got to go apple all the way. Apple pie for Thanksgiving. Throw away that pumpkin pie for me.
All right, I like that.
All right, cool. All right, thanks, Gabe. Good job by you. Coming up after the break, Gabe and I didn't even talk about that incredible Carruthers and Kalinga game. That's what because Brandon Ward from Carruthers, the head coach, who made the call to go for it with the two-point conversion, who saw everything on the field, all the reaction, all the drama from that game, the drama from the Shafter and Torres game as well. They're going to be matching up in the Division IV Central Section Championship game. So coming up after the break, Brandon Ward of Carruthers will be talking about that game and much more on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I gotta let this roll, don't I? This is one of the great intro songs of all time, right? AC/DC, welcome back. This is the Central Valley Sports Report. Oh, we didn't let it kick. All right, I talked too early. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Had a great time so far. I hope my enthusiasm comes through on the radio, like I think it is in my head. I mean, my memories of playing high school sports are still strong. I played in my alumni basketball game a couple Mondays ago at Emmanuel High School, and just seeing the guys and, you know, cutting it up with those dudes and, you know, just the memories that we shared and, you know, talking about how old we are, the things that we used to be able to do and can't even do anymore. But anyway, just high school is just a special time, and I hope that here at 1430 that we just show how much we appreciate the effort and all the things that go into, you know, high school football games, high school basketball games, baseball, everything across the board. And at 1430, we are definitely glad to bring you everything that we can and highlight all the athletes up and down the Central Section. So we're going to bring in right now Coach Brandon Ward of Carruthers. Man, what a phenomenal game that they had. The number 3 seed, they are now hosting the D4 title game after an incredible win against Kalinga. They're down 21-7 in the fourth quarter. Now, I don't want to spoil too much, but I did talk about how they scored, the game-winning two-point conversion. But, Coach Ward, first of all, congratulations on the win. When did you fall asleep, and when did you wake up this morning? Did you, like, get, like, 3 hours of sleep? Were you just totally pumped, couldn't get to sleep?
Hey, how's it going, Paul? First of all, thanks for having me, man. Yeah, you know, I don't know what time. I probably went to bed about 1 or 2 o'clock, but, I woke up, and I couldn't go back to sleep because I was just, like, still trying to process what happened last night, man. What a phenomenal, epic game, man.
So, 7-7 after the first quarter. Second and third quarters, you guys are probably trading punts and doing all kinds of stuff the high school kids do and not moving the ball and playing great defense. But walk us through that fourth quarter the best that you can.
Oh, the best I can. Man, it was, we went into that fourth quarter tied up, and Kalinga, got up on us 21-7 with 6 minutes left, Paul. 21-7 with 6 minutes left. And our offense, I mean, we came out, we got the ball to start the second half, and we went 3 and out right away. And so it was, we had some moments where we moved the ball, but, their defense was just playing lights out. We could not get things going for us offensively. So again, it's 21-7 with 6 minutes left, Paul. And we put a drive together and go down and score I think it was less than a minute. I mean, so now it's 21-14, right? With under 5 minutes left. And, oh man. And then we kick it off to him and we force him to punt. So we get the ball it's 21-14 now. We get the ball back at about the 45 or something like that. 44, 40, I don't know, somewhere in there. And we get the ball back with, 4 minutes or so left. We drive the ball down and we score with 40 seconds left, man. 41, 40, whatever it was, 40 seconds left after the 2-point conversion. So speaking of, the decision really, because I had run it by one of my coaches. I said, hey, man, we're going to go for two. What do you think? I said, I don't want to answer right now, man. Just process it and let me know. And his reply to me was, we don't want to play them in overtime. And I agree because their offense is legit, man. I mean, we're on fire. Not that our defense was playing really well, but they got dudes and their quarterback is super talented. I mean, they're just, it's a really good offense. We just figured, playing from the 25 yard line, that wasn't a good situation for us. And so anyways, whenever we scored, there was no hesitation. We were just like, we're going to go for two. And so we run the swinging gate. We do that every time we score, we line up in it, whether we run a play, a conversion out of it, or we shift and kick the PAT. And so we made the call to run it, and Lorenzo Tugada got it in the end zone for us to take the lead.
So was that a play call that is it something that you call from the sidelines, talking about the swinging gate? Do you look at the options? Do you see how Kalinga is lining up, or did you allow your players to make a decision?
No, that's my call. Yeah, okay. That's my call. But all credit to the players. They executed it, man. So, we want to make sure it's not something we just call haphazardly, right? Like, hey, we got to have the matchups. And the matchup was there. I saw the matchup on previous PATs. Let's just leave it at that. And so I knew I was really confident that play was going to work. And that's why we decided to do that versus run our offense out there and run a play. So
describe for everybody out there. Obviously, the football people out there understand what a swinging gate looks like. You think about Coach Pat Hill, how he ran it at Fresno State. But describe exactly what that looks like on the field. I saw the video of it, and I saw your guy run it in. But describe exactly what that looked like in the formation that you had, and then the direct snap, and then the run.
Yeah, so, for those that don't know what it is, you're basically putting your offensive line over on the left hash. Well, you can put it on right or left. We put it on them on the left hash.
And then so your offensive line and a tight end on the left hash, so you got six guys on the line there. You've got an H-back or a halfback, you know, sitting there at the wing position on the hash. Your center is an eligible receiver. So he can, after he snaps it, he can go out for a pass.
Okay.
You've got a halfback to the right of him. And you've got, or a fullback, whatever you want to call him. You've got your quarterback. So there's three right there by the ball. There's only three by the ball, right? There's seven on the left. There's three by the ball. And then you've got a right wide receiver on the line all the way to the right on the numbers. So that's what the swing gate looks like.
It was, you know, did you know right away as soon as they snapped the ball and went for it that it had a really good chance? I know you said, hey, you like the matchups. But, I mean, were you super confident that was going to work?
Absolutely. Yeah, I try to be as humble as I can, man. I think I'm a humble guy, but, you know, I don't want to be cocky or, you know, overconfident. But, yeah, man, I felt really good about it, man. It wasn't one of those things where I'm like, man, I don't know if we should do this. And again, I mean, I'm not as humble as I can be, man. I trusted Lorenzo. I trusted Asher. I trusted Tony. I trusted Landon to do their job, man. And you know, we practice that every week, man. You know, I mean, it's something that we've been doing for whatever it is, 15 weeks now, you know. So, and we haven't used it. We used it quite a bit in early in the season and mid-season. I don't think we've ran a conversion in 5 weeks, maybe six, just because our kicker is so good, man. Daniel Rosales, you know, if we need to lean on him for a field goal, he's money. I mean, he hasn't missed a PAT all year. I think he's like 42 for 42 or something like that, man. He's set the school record this year, you know. So he's money. I mean, we could have easily just tied it up and go. But, you know, the decision was with the coaching staff was we don't want to play these guys in overtime. And that's a huge credit to Kalinga, man, because we did not want to go extra innings with those guys, man. You know what I mean?
And you rode your guy. We talked about Hunter Babb on the show and what he's brought to your team, especially in the playoffs and beating those two CMAC teams before you play that great Kalinga team. But you rode your guy again. Looks like about 169 yards and two touchdowns. Yep. Was he just beast mode again?
He was. I mean, I tell you what. First possession, he breaks a 60-some-odd yard touchdown, man. I'm like, here we go again, you know? And then after that, you know, Kalinga made some adjustments and then we were chipping away at that point, you know, but, he's a special dude. I've said it before and, I'm super proud of Hunter. Not just him, but everybody on the team, man, such a team, you know, how do you explain like being down 14 points with 6 minutes left and seeing a high school team with, you know, teenagers having the resilience to overcome that adversity and come back. That's a special story right there, Paul. You know, think about that, man. I mean, I'm still trying to wrap my head around it, man.
I know. It sounds like it sounds like you're just still, I mean, you're in awe of what those kids did, but you just appreciate the moment. And I mean,
absolutely,
just for high school kids, just to pull it, you know, to pull something out, you're talking about 15, 16, 17, 18 year old kids who dug deep in a game like that in a high leverage situation and pulled out a victory.
Yeah. You know, and it's, I'm blessed, you know, just to be around those guys. God is good, Paul. I mean, you know, and when I say that, you know, I feel bad because, you know, Kalinga, you know, you see the heartbreak on their side. And, you know, as a coach that is in this business for the kids, you feel for them, man, you know, because you know what they're going through in agony. And I just want them to know that, man, those guys are solid, man. And there's bright futures for, you know, their sophomore quarterback and their sophomore receiver and those seniors that went out that way. I feel bad for them, but I know that they're going to be winners in life because they know how to battle, and props to their coaching staff for bringing those guys in here and so much improved from the first time we played them in week one. And so I got a lot of respect for Kalinga, their coaching staff, their players, and all that, man. So,
and I think you hit it on the head, and you know, we broadcasted the San Joaquin Memorial Clovis West game, And that's a high-level game. Those kids are putting their bodies on the line, and you see the tears after the game. You see the coaches consoling players. You see seniors hugging each other and crying and taking pictures like an hour after the game. They're on the field, you know, taking in the moment, knowing that that's the last time that most of them are not going to step on the football field and be with their brothers again. So, yeah, you're right. There's just something different about high school football and wins and losses and the emotion of it. I think about this myself, like what motivates you? Is it the fear of losing or is it the thrill of victory? And it's all of it, right? It's everything. Yeah. You don't want to lose for your brothers, and those joyous moments that you can share are just, it's something that lasts a lifetime. So I'm happy for Carruthers. You're able to embrace it. You know, you got another game. You're going to be practicing during Thanksgiving week. You're going to be in the Central Section Championship game. So what does that mean to you and your program and the city of Carruthers?
We're blessed, man. You know, our community is so proud. You know, last night we had the class of 1991. There were several members from that group, that class. That class was there. They would have been a 1990 football team. There was about, I don't know, five or six football players, maybe a few more, that were on that 1990 Valley Championship team that went 12-0 and beat Corcoran in the championship that year. I was a freshman that year, by the way. But so they were there. You know, some of them, one of them lives up north in California, Northern California. One lives in Colorado. They all came for a class reunion, and so they were there. You know, that was really special to see them. You know, I was, like I said, I was a freshman and those guys were seniors winning it all. And just to see them and taking pictures and stuff and seeing that. And you know, I've gotten so many responses on, you know, via text, via social media about how proud the community is. And that says it all, man. That's what it's about. You know what I mean? It's about just loving where you're from. And doing the best with what you have, and just rejoicing in the little things. And I know it's not a little thing, but you know, like you take, you know, it's a football game, man. But we're loving it, man. And just to see the excitement of the community, man. It's I hate to say it, I'm speechless, man. I mean, it's just, it's overwhelming the joy that I have in my heart for what just happened and everything that's going on. So yeah, to answer your question, we're fired up about next week, man. We get to practice Thursday morning on Thanksgiving Day, you know, break bread together, and then you know, show up on Friday day after Thanksgiving. Man, if you're playing the day after Thanksgiving,
that's a gift.
Life is good.
Life is good, absolutely. And there was a legendary coach at Carruthers, Tom Casanova, and I assume that you played for Coach Casanova, right?
Yes, sir, I did. I played for him. I coached with him, and I was you know, blessed to be able to take over for him. Can't replace him, but to take over for him. He just texted me this morning. I saw him last night after the game. He texted me this morning saying how happy and proud he was. He's still part of the program. He's you know, Blue Raider family through and through, obviously. Yeah. You know, he set the tone back in 1988 or 89, whenever it was. And there was success before him, obviously. You know, we've had some championships in 74, 79. But, you know, he set the tone. Like I said, he won his first Valley Championship in 1990 with that group that I told you that came back for the reunion last night. Excuse me. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Tom set the standard. You know, for what it means to be a Blue Raider. It's not just wins on the football field, man. It's how you conduct yourself. He has a saying that early's on time is late. There you go. You know, like, hold yourself accountable, man. Get to where you're supposed to be and do your job. And so much respect. I love Tom. He's a brother to me. He's a father figure. I love that man to death, man.
Yeah, I know that. Carruthers had some great battles in the 90s as well. And, I mean, nothing like Carruthers football and Fowler football and all these small schools that get together and play each other. Town shuts down. But you're playing Shafter, right? And I know that you're still flying high from that win last night, and you're playing a Shafter team that had a big upset. Number one, Liberty Madera. There were some wild games last night, so they won their game in overtime as well. Who did they play?
Torres.
Yeah, they played Torres, and Torres went for two and didn't get it. But what do you know about the Generals? They're obviously riding high, too, and I think they got a young quarterback. So I know you're still processing everything, but how does that game shaping up?
Well, I'll be able to give you a better assessment in a few hours, Paul, but I haven't even opened up the game film for them. I know my defensive coordinator, he's texting me. He's already watching it, breaking it down. Only thing I know of them right now is what I've seen on the stats. They're really good. If they can hold Liberty Rodeo Ranchos to 13 points, that says something about their defense because Liberty is really good. I didn't know much about Torres, but obviously they were in a battle there too. So I know that quarterback is good, freshman or not, doesn't matter. He's got a big arm. We'll watch film and figure it out, but they're obviously good. And I've been following their coach on social media. I really appreciate the values that he instills in his program. I know they're going to be very well coached. And they're going to come and bring in. It's a championship game, man. So, if you can't get up for that, then what are you doing, right? So we're going to have our hands full, but we'll get to work here and I'll, break down film and come up with a game plan. And there you go. So,
yeah, we're all excited. So guys are hosting a Central Section championship game. That's probably something that you didn't think would happen looking at the bracket. Like, hey, maybe we have a chance to host, but now you guys are hosting. Got a couple minutes here, and I got to ask you, right, you're practicing during Thanksgiving week. You're probably going to have a get-together with the team for Thanksgiving, but what is your – and I've talked to Gabe about this, and I talked to Mason Hughes about this as well. So what is your what's your Thanksgiving go-tos? What do you have to have in your Thanksgiving meal?
Me personally?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, what does your plate look like?
I'm a big fan of the stuffing, man. I could just go with stuffing and gravy on top of that, man. I mean, yeah, the turkey's nice and stuff, but, man, give me a whole bunch of stuffing with gravy on top and give me some of those buttery rolls. We're good, man.
Well, that's what Coach Hughes said. He's like, man, my aunt's stuffing is the best. I don't know. Yeah. Is there a stuffing revolution going on? Am I missing something? Do I need to get on this train? Because I'm not a huge fan.
Well, I don't know what goes into it. You'd have to ask my wife. She's the one that prepares the stuffing. But, I'm a huge fan, man.
So are you guys going to have a team Thanksgiving and then maybe on Saturday have a family Thanksgiving? What's that look like? Have you even thought that far ahead yet?
So we're going to practice Thursday morning. We'll get it over, have an early morning practice, feed the guys breakfast, and then have our normal practice on Thursday morning. And then, so that way everyone can have enjoy their time with their family for Thanksgiving. So, we're working on putting together a team meal on Wednesday. Usually we do it on Thursday prior to the game, but, since it's Thanksgiving, we're working on putting together a team meal on Wednesday after practice, and then we'll feed them breakfast, Thursday, after practice. And then, obviously they'll go home and spend time with their families. And then,
Well, Coach Ward, this is going to be a fantastic week. Congratulations on your incredible win at Coalinga. I'm proud of you guys, what you're doing over there, Carruthers. And, I'll probably be texting you this week and getting some little hints and tips on what it's going to take to beat the Shafter Generals. But, yeah, congratulations on your success so far. Really enjoyed talking to you. Have fun this week.
Hey, Paul, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate you, giving me the opportunity to come on and talk about our great community, our great kids, and happy Thanksgiving to you, man. Enjoy your week, and look forward to talking to you soon.
Absolutely. Sounds great. All right, Coach Ward, Carruthers High, man, what an incredible game they had last night. They got one more game. They won one more game and go down as one of the legendary teams in Carruthers history if they could win on Friday. But, I could tell from Coach Ward that it's about the journey. It's about these kids and the excitement, the memories that they build. So, yeah. Good luck to them. It's going to be a lot of fun this coming Saturday. All right, we're going to take a break and then come back and wrap everything up on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Just had a fun 2 hours of talking high school football in the Central Section. Championship Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, is coming up. Man, if you are practicing during Thanksgiving week, that means you have a big game ahead of you. Fun show as always. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Metters. You can also go to 1430 ESPN website, download episodes that you have not yet heard before on the tab. Thank you guys for listening. This is a lot of fun. I hope you guys find this enjoyable as much as I do. Thank you to First String Sports, my day one sponsors. They do an incredible job here. Thanks to Jorge, Gabe Camarillo, Coach Wilson, and Tanner Wilson from Sunnyside, our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. Mason Hughes from Central Valley Christian and Brandon Ward from Carruthers. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. We will talk to you soon.
Your home of the San Francisco 49ers, 1430 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader, KFIG Fresno.